Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Here's this angelic being that shows up to Daniel because Daniel prayed. Now listen, here's one of the first principles I really want us to understand here. Your prayers are in the spiritual realm, and your prayers set in motion angelic beings. They are sent as ministering spirits, and when you pray, they begin to move.
Have you ever prayed for something, then become discouraged when you didn't get an answer or see results right away, so you gave up? If you've ever been in need of encouragement to persevere in prayer, please stay with us for today's message as we study an angel's words spoken to Daniel, which give us insight into the spiritual world we cannot see and don't understand, but can greatly affect. With part two of Daniel chapter 10, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Let's read on here. It gives us a little bit more of the description. His eyes like a torch of fire in the middle of six. His arms and feet like burnished bronze in color. And the sound of his words were like the voice of a multitude. Because when Jesus says something, it's done. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision. This tells us that God can touch our eyes and let us see into the spiritual realm while the people around us can't see in the spiritual realm. However, but a great terror fell upon them and they fled and hid themselves. All of a sudden, Daniel looks up and he sees, you know, this flame of fire and lightning face and white outfit. And the guys with him go, ah, they don't know why, and they run off. They just run away in terror. Now, this is a very important point. What happens in the spiritual realm affects us physically. There's an effect on us, and even upon those that don't know and aren't very spiritual, it affects them physically as well. They are terrified by what has appeared, and they don't know why. They've run off and they've hid. Daniel is affected physically by the vision that he sees spiritually. The spiritual world affects us greatly. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers of all times, many pastors' libraries are full of Charles Spurgeon's books. He has a book called Lectures to My Students, which if you want a pastor, that's a book to get. You need to get it. It's a great book. The way I teach today, I've learned a lot of that from studying Charles Spurgeon and what he did. Charles Spurgeon was a pastor in England. He was 25 years old. His church grew to 25,000 people. Charles Spurgeon certainly has had an effect on preaching for, you know, how many decades, how many years? Many, many. But he spoke about at the end of his studies that he had a great depression that would set in. Now, those that heard him speak said he spoke in a dynamic way and that he was not depressed, but at the end of his studies, he would be overcome with a depression. Charles Spurgeon said he believed it was demonic. That there was a battle that took place in the spiritual realm as he gave his messages. And at the end of those messages, there was this depression that overtook him. And at times, the depression was severe. It was so severe, he said he didn't want to get up. He didn't want to go on because of the severe depression. Now, I've never experienced it to that degree, but I've experienced it. I felt that spiritual letdown. I felt it at the end of studies, at the end of different events that we have done. The spiritual realm affects us physically. So they run off screaming. Daniel's left alone. Verse 8, therefore I was left alone when I saw the great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. All of a sudden, Daniel's there, and all of a sudden he sees Jesus, and he falls down on the ground, and all of his strength leaves him. Why? Because when you see God Almighty, you realize I'm nothing. Right now, you might think you're something. You might get up and walk out of here going, yeah, I'm the coolest person in this building. I'm something. But I guarantee you, in all of your arrogance and pride, when you stand before the living God, it will be drained from you. It will drain from you like the red in your face as you stand before the living God, pale, maybe not even standing. There's a song by Mercy Me called I Can Only Imagine. Will I stand in his presence? Will I fall? Oh, you'll fall. I have no question. You won't be able to stand because his presence is so grand that you will realize who you are and you will think, how could I ever have been arrogant in his presence? When Jesus appears, Daniel falls on his face on the ground and all of his power leaves him and he falls into a deep sleep. He passes out on his face. Look at what it says. Verse 9, yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. He just fainted. Suddenly, a hand touched me. Now, I believe the hand that touched him here is not Jesus. The hand that touches him here is the angel. The scene's changed a little bit, and although Jesus may still be there, there's an angel now that has been sent to bring him a message. He's the one that touches Daniel. Daniel's asleep, and this angel, suddenly he touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. Now, do you get what's happening here? Daniel's standing up by the River Tigris, and he looks over, and there's God, and boom, falls over on his face. Now an angel comes up and touches him, and he climbs up on his knees and on his hands, and he's shaken while he's on his hands and knees, right? That's what it says. Verse 10, suddenly a hand touched me and made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved. Second time God called Daniel greatly beloved. It wasn't because of any inner character within Daniel. It was just God chose to love him. You're greatly beloved as well. I don't know why, but God loves you greatly. I don't know why God loves me, but he does. O Daniel, man of God, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. This angel says, look, I've come a long ways. I've gone through a huge ordeal to get here, and I'm not going to talk to you while you're trembling on your hands and knees. Stand up. For I have now been sent to you, and while he was speaking the word to me, I stood trembling. So now you get Daniel's on his hands and knees. He's like, get up. I'm not going to talk to you while you're down there the whole time. He says, I stood up and I was still trembling while I was looking at this guy. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, those are two things to underline. What did Daniel do? He set his heart to understand and he humbled himself. Your words were heard. Oh, underline that. Your words were heard. On the very first day, see, at the very first moment you pray, your words are heard. There's not a hindrance between your words and God hearing. Jeremiah 33:3. What a great verse. God says, call out to me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things that I have not yet done. What a verse. Psalm 65:2. God hears, therefore men call upon him. God hears your prayer. And at the very moment that Daniel began to pray, the angel says, we're up in heaven. And then I heard him. And not only were those prayers heard on that first day, verse 12, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. So here's this angelic being that shows up to Daniel because Daniel prayed. Now listen, here's one of the first principles I really want us to understand here. Your prayers are in the spiritual realm, and your prayers set in motion angelic beings. They are sent as ministering spirits, and when you pray, they begin to move. Parents, when you begin to pray, angels begin to minister to your children. When you begin to pray, angels begin to move in the lives of those around you that don't know God. There's a spiritual battle that takes place. No wonder they're so irritated with you. They're just going on, living their lives, happy, trying to do whatever it is they do. And here comes a bunch of angels. All right, let's go. And they gotta start doing their work. They start going to town. Pretty soon that person says, I hate you. I don't know why, but I do. Because you're praying and God's moving. It's happening on the day that you're praying. It doesn't mean the answer's there. But on the day that Daniel started to pray, 21 days before this angel showed up, the angel says, I left. Because you get the scene? He's up in heaven. He begins to pray and God says, all right, you, whatever his name was, maybe it was Raphael, I don't know, you go. Take this message to Daniel. And he starts to fly. I see an angel with his wings and big burly angel flying down the road. But then all of a sudden something happens. He's intercepted along the way. Look at verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. For 21 days, the prince of Persia showed up. Ephesians says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Now a prince of Persia shows up. Why Persia? Because Persia is dominating the world then. And the prince of Persia is a demonic spirit over Persia. Later on, he's going to talk about a prince of Greece. There, I believe there's a prince of the United States. I also believe there's an angel that is in charge of the U.S. and a demonic spirit that's in charge of the U.S. We are now, remember, getting a window into the spiritual realm. So as this angel's flying to bring his message to Daniel over Israel, that's what this whole thing's about, all of a sudden here comes a demonic angel, a prince of Persia. Scale, slime, boom, feathers fly, scales fly. They slam against the cloud. They fly across the sky. Could you imagine that battle? Can you imagine seeing that? for 21 days. Talk about a prolonged battle. You'd have to have time lapse if you were making it in a movie to cover 21 days of this angel and this demon fighting one another. There are spiritual battles in the spiritual realm by angels and demons because you pray. Isn't that amazing? And you think, yeah, my prayers aren't doing anything. Come on. It's doing far more than you ever know, far more than you could ever imagine. But some of you give up. The Bible says, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you don't faint. Some of you guys are fainting. I can't pray anymore. It's not doing anything. My kid's just a jerk. You give up on him. Right? Who knows? Right around the corner that the angelic being throws off that demonic spirit and has victory in your children. Who knows that it's not right around the corner? Now, this angel fights for 21 days, and I love this scene now. In the middle of verse 13, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone. There with the king of Persia. As I was left alone, I'm battling this king of Persia, and then all of a sudden I look up and there's Michael. He's one of the only angels mentioned. Here he's mentioned as a prince. He is one of the chief princes in the angelic forces. He could handle this angel. All of a sudden the battle's going on, and this angel's probably a little wore out. Then all of a sudden, all of a sudden there. Go ahead, make my day. Right? All of a sudden there's Michael. This is a 44 Magnum, punk. You know, that kind of thing. And that angel and Michael go at it. Now, what we know about Michael is that one day, God's going to say to Michael, go get him. When he means him, he means Satan. Go get the dragon. Go get him. And Michael goes, finally, boom, he's gone. And he grabs him. He throws him in the lake of fire. I believe that Michael is so much more powerful than Lucifer that when the day comes that God gives him permission, he'll throw him in the lake of fire without much of a fight. So Michael shows up. Now, why does Michael show up? Because this angel is bringing a message to Daniel about Israel, and Michael is the prince of Israel. Michael's the angel that's in charge over the nation of Israel. So Michael shows up and says, go ahead and go on your way. I'll take care of this guy. Then they battle on. So for 21 days, finally Michael shows up, and the heavenly scene changes, and then verse 14. And I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. See, it's all about Israel. He begins to mourn because of the state of the rebuilding of the temple. And he says, now I'm bringing you a message about Israel in the last days. Then he says in 15, when he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face towards the ground and I became speechless. When the angel finally shows up, and you can just see him, he's like excited to get there. He's been fighting for 21 days. He says, the first day you prayed, I came, and then there's this battle in here, and now I came to tell you what's going to happen. And Daniel looks at the ground and gets quiet. Can't say anything. Why? You ever felt like you don't know what to say? You ever felt like here's a perfect opportunity for me to share something and I don't know what to say? Because you really can't say anything of significance without the power of God in your life. Apart from Jesus, the Bible says you can do nothing. We could have a whole service here and the group could come out and play and they could be really good musically, talented. I could come out and entertain you guys, do a little stand-up routine. Then we could leave. But if nothing is done in the Spirit, then nothing of significance is done. So Daniel is speechless, and like Isaiah that saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. And an angel came and took a coal from the altar, touched his lips, and his sins were forgiven. So here, Daniel hangs his head, and he's speechless because what's he going to say? And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men, one looking like a man. Now, here again is why I believe there's more than one. He's got the angel that came to him to fight. He's got Jesus standing by the Tigris River. Now somebody looking like a man. Might very well be Jesus again, by the way. Bible tells us that Jesus in the Old Testament took on a form of a man, a Christophany. And he touched my lips. Like Isaiah, whose lips were touched, the lips of Daniel were touched by the one who looked like a man. And I opened my mouth and I spoke, saying to him who stood with me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me and I have retained no strength. See, when we get battling in the spiritual realm, there's an effect upon us spiritually. We feel worn out, we feel tired, we feel like giving up, but we can't because people's lives are in the balance. He says, for how can this servant of mine, Lord, talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor any breath left in me. He says, I'm drained. Then again, the one having the likeness of the man touched me and strengthened me. He said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, and peace to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. See, God strengthens us for the work that we're called to do. When we feel like we can't go on anymore, didn't that happen to Jesus in the garden? The Bible says, and the angels ministered to him, and he was strengthened in the garden. That is strengthened to go and face the cross. When he felt like there was no more that he could take. Angels touch us. Maybe we're depressed and we're down and we don't understand why. We don't realize the battle's going on around us. Maybe it's because of the things taking place. We feel like we can't go on anymore, and God touches us and he strengthens us. And all of a sudden, we're fresh for the battle again. All of a sudden, we're saying, I know now I can be effective in what's being done here. Verse 20, then he said to me, Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return and fight the prince of Persia? He says, I got to go back and battle that creep again. When I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come. Why was the prince of Greece going to show up? Because Greece was going to take over world control. Greece would now be in charge of Israel. Remember, this whole thing's over Israel. He says, the prince of peace is going to show up, but I will tell you what is noted in the scriptures of truth. No one upholds me against these. This angel, whoever he is, says, maybe it's Gabriel, by the way. Some believe it could be Gabriel. Might be. No one upholds me against this prince. I'm out there battling him alone, except Michael, your prince. Why did he call Michael Daniel's prince? Was Michael Daniel's guardian angel? I don't think so. I think that Michael is Jewish. Excuse me. Mess everything up now. Michael's an angel, okay? Daniel is Jewish, and Michael is an angel, the prince of Israel. He is in the spiritual realm, the angelic being that is over the nation of Israel. He is the prince of that angel. So the window is open, the battle is seen, and the events are taking place. And just like happened to Daniel, happens to us. Remember, the Bible says that John the Baptist was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, and he who was least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. We are involved in this battle. The Bible says that we're in a war. And any good soldier doesn't entangle himself in the things of this world. We're too entangled in the world. We're seeking our own way. We're building our own lives instead of being a part of this battle, realizing that it's taking place and going on. And may God remind us and show us. Three things in closing. Number one, there's a lot more to life than the things that we see. As Christians, we have no excuse. There's a whole lot more going on with your children than just your children being rebellious. There's a whole lot more going on with your family members who are struggling and addicted and can't get away from certain things. There's a whole lot more going on to the addiction to pornography or the addiction to alcohol or the addiction to crack or meth. There's a spiritual world that's going on that's connected with these things, and you and I make a difference when we get on our knees and we begin to pray and we begin to cry out. There's angelic forces that begin to move. There's a lot more to this world than what we see. Our lives ought to be affected by that. Number two, we can take part in what God is doing and receive and see the future. We can be a part of it. We're part of what God wants to do. God didn't have to use Daniel. God could have triggered it on anything, but it wasn't triggered on anything. It was triggered on Daniel's prayer. That's when the spiritual battle started. And when we call out to God and when we say, I'm going to pray and I'm going to get serious about it, we begin to pray, angels begin moving, and then demons start moving. Then there's a battle. And the situation from a human perspective gets worse. You ever said, I'm not going to pray anymore for my kids because, woo, goes nuts then. I start praying for them, the situation gets worse. Well, you know why? It's agitation. The demonic world, the angelic world is going at it. It's not time to quit. Victory's right around the corner. That's a result of your praying. The enemy wants you to be agitated and quit. The enemy wants you to be a peace seeker instead of peace in their lives. To seek your own personal peace instead of peace in their lives. Be agitated for your kids. Be agitated for the people around you. Cry and weep and be a part of what God is doing. And if it depresses you and brings you down to be in that spiritual battle like Spurgeon, so be it. It's part of what we do and part of what we go through. And it's certainly worth it. It's worth the cost. Finally, they that are with us are more than they that are with them. It's a great account. 2 Kings chapter 6. The Syrian army is slipping into Israel and sending raids and just raiding pockets. And Israel doesn't know where they're coming in to raid. They choose different places. They raid different villages. And Israel has been ineffective at protecting against this raiding army of the Syrians until Elijah starts telling the king where they're going to come and raid. So Elijah, revealed supernaturally by God, begins to tell the king of Israel where they're coming into the nation to raid them. Finally, the king of Syria, after several times of their raids being caught by the armies of Israel, the king of Syria gets his generals together and says to the generals, which one of you guys are the rat? Which one of you guys are the mole? Which one of you guys are telling them what we're doing? They say, well, none of us. There's a man in Israel, a guy by the name of Elijah, and he knows what you talk about in your bedchamber, king. And he's telling the king of Israel, and he's sending an army to intercept you. And so he says, let's go get him. So they head off to go and get Elijah. Elijah knows what the king's doing. He knows he's coming, but he has a good night's sleep anyway. He's not too worried about it. But when his servant wakes up, you guys remember it? When his servant wakes up, he looks outside and there's an army. And Elijah's sleeping. So he wakes him up and he says, there's an army outside, chariots, horses, footmen, swords, shields, spears. And Elijah says, Lord, open his eyes. He says to him, there are more with us than there are with them. God opened his eyes. And his eyes are opened, and he looks outside, and he sees chariots of fire surrounding the Syrian army. Elijah gets up, walks out the door, walks up to the guys, and says, God, strike them with blindness. Boom, strikes the whole army with blindness. Brings them to the king of Israel, says, hey, guys, follow me. I'll lead you the way. Brings them to the king of Israel. The king of Israel says, should we kill him? Elijah goes, no, don't kill him. Feed him and let him go. So they fed him, and they let him go, and the Bible says they never again came raiding on the land of Israel. They kind of learned their lesson. But what a great picture. They that are with us are more than they that are with him. Hey, Lucifer's on their side, the great dragon, serpent of old. But Michael's on our side. Lucifer's on their side, but Jesus is on our side. Lucifer doesn't have a chance against him. Hey, if I fight against Lucifer, I'm done. He'll wipe me out in a second. But Jesus stands on my side. And said, behold, I give you power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And if anyone is a Christ, he cannot hurt him. That's why I'm not afraid to call the devil a jerk. Because I've been given power to trample on him. We've been given power to trample on him. I'm going to leave you with the words of Warren Wiersbe. Years ago, he said, we are not fighting for victory. The outcome is sure. We're fighting from victory. As long as we fight, we will win. Stand with me, would you? Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for the time we can spend here today and the work that you are doing in each one of our lives. And we pray that our eyes would continue to be opened in the spiritual realm. And we want to thank you for this passage, which reveals to us so much about what's taking place and going on in that realm. And Father, forgive us that we have not prayed and sought you for the sake of our wayward children. Forgive us that we have not cried out to you effectively until the prayer is done for those that are struggling around us. Lord, help us to be fervent and effective as we pray and seek you and are a part of this spiritual battle. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. How is it that we reach over in the spiritual realm? We are spiritual. We do that when we read God's word and we put it to action because it's spiritual. We do that when we pray and we seek Him. May we be about the business of God. May we realize, hey, a good soldier doesn't entangle himself in the things of this world. We want to be good soldiers for Him. We will make a difference in the lives around us. Let's be aware of it.
We hope you've been blessed by Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Tucson. It is our prayer that our Bible teachings would help you to understand and apply God's powerful word to your life every day. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N, Tucson, Arizona, 8506. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East or Southwest Tucson. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study and drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.